Morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Good to see you. We've got a few guests as well this morning. If you are a visitor this morning, you are really welcome here. And so good to have you with us. If you're looking for a church, then I hope you'll pick this one. It's a good one. And we love to be together worshipping God. So you are very, very welcome. You've come on a bit of an unusual Sunday. We're doing something different this morning. And we call it our Stories of Grace Sunday. And it's really a chance to hear some of the things that God is doing in the lives of people in this church. And so we've asked some of the people in the church, if God's done something significant in your life in the last year or over the last few years maybe, why don't you come and share it this morning? And I'm really pleased to say we've got 9 people this morning. And it's ultra pleasing because it means you don't have to listen to me much. That was the threat last week. Obviously, you picked me up on that. So the one thing I'd love to do, though, is open the Bible before we start, because we always do that. We preach from the Word of God. We believe that in here is everything we need for life and for the knowledge of God. And so I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and just going to read that. If you would like a Bible, I think Wendy may have a few at the back. So if you want to follow it through, pop your hand up and she will bring one round to you. It's really good to see it yourselves and read it. If you don't own a Bible, a paper one maybe, then pop your hand up if you want a Bible. She'll put one just on your lap there. If you don't own a Bible, you can keep this as a gift from us. Just write your name in the front of it. And I think it's really good to... I've gone full circle. I don't use my phone Bible so much anymore because I think it's really good to read it. I'm going to put the words up on the screen as well. And I'm not reading the whole chapter, but I'm going to read it off my iPad just because I've taken out just a few verses just because it's quite a long passage. But we're going to start in Hebrews 11 from verse 1. And hopefully it'll appear on the screen behind me. There we go. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel, who was the son of Adam and Eve, brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. We read this in the beginning of Genesis in the first few chapters. He could not be found because God had taken him away, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's what faith means. It's worth really taking that verse in, isn't it? Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. That's how we please God, is to believe in him. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when he called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him, that's God, faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, Abraham, and he as good as dead because he was so old, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We'll go down to verse 24, just skip a few verses there. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, so he's just working through the book of Genesis here. He's working through the Old Testament. And it says, by faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ, It's interesting because this is 1,400 years before Christ, but he's pointing towards God's promise here as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. So he's talking about the plagues there that God brought upon Egypt. And by faith the people, that's Israel, passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And so I read that because I think it's a real encouragement. What you can see there, this is how it is to live as a child of God. This is someone who is a Christian now. We live by faith. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. God's promise was Christ, that Jesus would come and rescue us, that our sin means we've fallen short of God. Every one of us in this room has not lived in line with God's commands and his holy justice. And yet God has made a way for us to be made right with God through believing in his son, Jesus Christ. And so it's by faith we've been saved. And this is our stories today are an encouragement of what God is doing in the lives of Christians in this room. And I kind of wanted to read that passage first to say, this is the history. You read the Bible and you see all these great people. And actually, they were people like you and I. They were ordinary people. When you read these stories and you go back in the author, you think, actually, a lot of these people were fairly stupid. They did some silly things. They were a bit ridiculous at times. They were often very sinful. They often lacked faith, in fact. But actually, the story of their life was, no, they believed in a God who is incredible. And so the hero of this story and all these stories today is God, it's Jesus. And so I want to sort of put that out up front. And as you hear these stories, as people are going to share what God's doing in their life, look for signs of faith. Look for, and God said, and God did this, and I trusted him with that, or I deprived myself of this thing in order to get that thing. And I believed God. And that's what it is to be a Christian, is to believe God, believe God's promise that Jesus has paid the price for our sin. It is the wonderful news of the gospel, the good news that we want to share. It's why we love having people here, because we want to tell people about Jesus. And so I just want to say that as an encouragement up front. So as you hear these stories this morning, these people have been really brave this morning. It's not easy to stand here and talk about the stuff that's personal to you and things like that. So can we really encourage people as they share? And we'll listen to these things. And again, just allow God to speak to you through that. It's been my prayer this morning and over this week, is that God will really speak to us through these stories. And so I hope it will build your faith. I hope it will give you a sense of, well, maybe God could do that for me, as you relate to stuff. And just encourage you through that. And then at the end, we'll just make a moment just to pray for people as well. So without further ado, I'm going to invite up Mel Hall to start us off. So let's give her a hand. Over to you.
Thank you, Thomas. Okay, I'm going to try and keep this succinct. You know that I love to chat. So you often read in the Bible about people facing their enemies. And I often think about, like, enemies. I'm like, who are my enemies? I'm really blessed to actually be in a place in life, in a country, where actually I don't really necessarily have any enemies. apart from three small enemies that live with me in my house. And I've been sort of reading through the beginning of the Bible. Those my children, by the way, my three children. And all of you who see them here on a Sunday think that they're absolute angels and they're so sweet. And I've got three daughters and they're very cute, but they are full of sin, as are we all. And they are my enemies in my house. And I don't know if the word school run conjures up to any mums or dads out there that have done the school run, sort of some trepidation. It can be a tense time of day. It can be a stressful time of day. There's arguing, there's shouting from everybody in the family, and it's not a pretty time. And one thing that God's really broke through in my family recently is school run time, which I just sort of acknowledged to God, this is a difficult time. And I felt like God challenged me to pray, obviously, which I hadn't thought about doing because I was just trying so busily to find the shoe and the book bag and get them out the door. Psalm chapter 3, David is being chased by his enemy, Absalom, his son. His son is trying to overcome him. And I feel like that sometimes as a mum, like I've got, you know, the kids and they want to take over and they don't want to do things my way. And David says in Psalm 3, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? And this is when he's fled from his son, Absalom. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him, but you, God, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. And one thing that I've started doing, like if I'm on the school run and everyone's arguing, is to say, come on, guys, let's pray. And it has, I just want to testify to it being an absolute breakthrough. And just to really encourage you, if there's moments in your day that you can say, that is always a stressful time, and we try and, like, you know, come up with worldly ways of making it less stressful. I need to set my alarm 5 minutes earlier. Da-da-da-da. No, God has broken through in that. And the kids start to pray. And when I start to pray, I'm feeling tense. I'm feeling stressed. I'm not being a very pleasant mum. And as soon as I start to pray over that situation and the kids start to pray, God just brings peace. God brings peace beyond, that transcends the understanding that we have. So that's one thing. There's two things. So the first thing is that is just to encourage everybody that God can just transform those little situations. It's not a big deal. It's just a little thing. But every day that brought stress. And it's teaching the kids, I hope, that when you're facing times of stress and when you're facing, you know, those emotions are all bubbling up, to pray. And it's lovely. And now we're the crazy family walking down the road to school praying. And sometimes, like, they see their friends, they're like, just do it quietly, mummy. And that's okay, because we can pray quietly. And God has really answered those prayers, which has been amazing. And the second thing I wanted to share is in Ephesians 20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God's been teaching me about the fact that he can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. He has transformed my school runs. But also, this year, last year, my youngest daughter started school, and Ruby, and I was like, right, okay, I can do a bit more work now. So I got a job at their school to do some supply work, but it just was dry. I didn't really get any. It wasn't really going. And I was like, oh, I thought that was the perfect solution that I'd come up with. And then I was like, I need to get some more work, but the breakfast club and the after-school club are really expensive at school, so if I end up having to do lots of teaching, then I actually end up earning less than minimum wage for teaching, and it's just not worth it. So I prayed that God would find something else. I had no idea what to do. I've always been teaching, and I applied for a job as an Amazon delivery driver because I thought I could fit that in between dropping off the kids and picking them up, and I just got the job. And I was telling a school mum at the school gate, and she was like, oh, don't do that. I need a gardener. Do you want to be my gardener? She didn't say don't do that. She said, oh, you know, if you're looking for casual work, do you want to do this as well? And I was like, yeah, go on then. And I started doing her garden. And I'd prayed that God would provide a job. And I had never even thought about being a gardener. I love gardening, and I've got, you know, a nice garden that I keep. But I never thought about doing it as a job. Anyway, so I started doing my friend's job, my friend's garden. And I thought, this is absolutely amazing. I love doing this. And so I just put an advert out on Denville's Facebook page. Somebody might have seen it if you are on that. And as I did that, I prayed, Lord, would you let this grow if this is what you want me to do? But also, please could I just be contacted by women? Because that would just make me feel more comfortable. Sorry, men. But it was amazing. I got continually contacted by loads of women who were looking for someone to be their gardener. And I now work for 5 lovely ladies doing their gardens. And it has just been the most amazing job. I can fit it in around the school run. I can listen to the Bible and preaches and worship music whilst I'm doing it. I'm outside. The ground and everything just speaks of God's glory all day at me. I've got headspace because teaching's a busy job and being a mum's a busy job. So just God has provided the most amazing job that I couldn't even have even imagined. It just was so God the way it came about. And I just wanted to finish up by reading a psalm of praise because I just want to praise God because he is a good God, and when we bring things to him in prayer, he can just transform those moments that you think, oh, no one really cares about that. He cares. He cares about my school run being full of his joy and his love and his peace and his spirit, and it is, and it wasn't. And he cares about, you know, and he provides for us in our jobs, and he has provided for me in the most amazing way, this sort of flexible job. If a kid's off sick, it's fine. I don't feel awkward phoning my boss and going, yes, another day off, please. You know, I can just work out my schedule. And it just, anyway, I could keep talking about how amazing it is, but I'm going to talk about how amazing God is for providing for me. And I just want to read Psalm 145. I will exalt you, God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. Yeah, thank you, God, that you are a good God, that you care about those moments of stress in our day, and that you can bring peace through your spirit. Thank you that when we turn to you in prayer, you answer our prayers. Thank you that you are our provider, and you care so much and so intimately about those little parts of our life. Thank you for your goodness and for how you've provided me this job that allows me to worship you whilst I'm working. It's not... it's not easy when you're a mom and you're working to find space and time to worship you. Thank you that you have provided me a job when I can do it on my own and just hear from you. And the world just proclaims your glory around me, the flowers, the plants, just everything. You are a good God, and I thank you so much. Amen.
Thank you. Wonderful. And I won't talk between each one because it'll take longer, but I want to highlight there that notice faith going with worship, praise, and scripture and prayer. All those things coming together, and I think you'll just see that thread throughout. So next up is Anna, and let's give Anna a hand. Okay, well done.
Oh, hello, everyone. I try not to be so nervous. I do know nearly all of you in here. Just a quick insight to my life as a Christian. I grew up in a blended family, a white family who were non-Christian, fun, funny, some wild, and my Jamaican family, Christian, loving, both families hardworking and had different knowledge to give. As most confused children, stepping into an unknown world, I saw fit to be the adult who knew best that ultimately did not. Partially following the Ten Commandments didn't give me the life God promised, because with time the world had twisted my beliefs, such as long as I do no harm to others, what I do to myself will be fine. That's a lie, a big fat one. My testimony is about trusting God, his faithfulness, and how not to get carried away. Last August, God answered prayers by taking away my cravings for smoking. When I mean I had no cravings, I had no desire, nothing, no thought about it, unless I was like, I can't believe I don't want to do this today. It was great. God is paving away and listens to all of our prayers. I go through Bible plan after Bible plan, and while I'm living in the joy of the Lord, I decide to start a Bible plan called Praying Dangerous Prayers, one which was praying to God that he reveal my fears so I can walk in freedom to glorify his name. Lo and behold, my fear was revealed. Yeah. And I didn't get it at that time. I was like, why would this happen at such a pivotal moment in my life? Like, and again, I put it back to me and my life, and I forgot that it was actually God's life that I'm living. So straight away, I took my eyes off the Lord, and it was like my life. I let the devil get a foothold, and like that, the grace given to me was gone. But that wasn't but that was a lesson, not a failure, as the devil would have me believe. John 16:25 says, "Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." That I believe it happens. I'm proof that you can ask for things, God gives it to you, and then the joy that comes after it. Trusting in the Lord is where you need to come back to. It's so easy to get carried away in your own confidence because God has done something great for you. So in the midst of grief and temptation, the Lord spoke to me, and he was the one who said it was me. And it wasn't necessarily like a voice. It was more like this heaviness, this weight of, that was, I can't explain it anyway. And I was able to see the bigger picture. And it was that moment I realized that God was actually listening. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on not your own understanding." It was with this scripture that I was able to step into the life's next worry concerning my health. I had a complex cyst which I was sent to the oncology to investigate. I believe God heard our prayers, and what was there is now not. So while I continue to get things wrong, God's love for me is so much more than the errors that I make on the way. It's just amazing. I had a cough as well, which Thomas and Catherine prayed for healing. And I took a breath and it was like my ribs, I could breathe. It's like I couldn't believe I hadn't been able to take a full breath for all week. And then later that day, it was gone. What I want you to all understand is that it means that in the times that I've been inflicting things upon myself, God has not forsaken me. Because I smoke, and no doubt the reason I cough so much is because I smoke, he doesn't say, well, that's what you get. He still loves me. He's a faithful Father who loves us, forgives us, heals us, only to forgive us again and love us again. Like, where us earthly parents, like, we all have that final straw with our children, like, or leave from disappointment. Our Heavenly Father promises to never leave you nor forsake you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. I realized that with everything God has already revealed to me about my life through Scripture, it wasn't to be taken lightly and to pay attention. And now with God who goes before me and stands behind, I am learning to be still and listen, no thinking before I speak, as I have been conformed by this world. Being present with God, remembering God's love for me through Scripture is powerful in the moment and something I will continue to learn as I grow.
Great. so good, isn't it? Just to, is a story of God's grace, and you know we're all a work in progress. So thank you, Anna, for sharing that. Next up is Martin. Well done, Martin.
All right. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Hiya, Martin.
Yeah. Not used to this. Right. Good morning. I am talking here because I want to encourage you all and to point towards Jesus, who helps us. I don't have much of a testimony other than to, because like two weeks ago, oh, my heart is beating so fast now. Oh, calm down. Oh, Lord, please. Okay, about 2 weeks ago, I was at the Grace group, that's correct. And we watched a video, and there was also last Sunday. I remember that very well. It was by Johnny May. He was preaching on fasting. And I remember it, and it's been in my mind. I've been thinking about it, and it's been here. All right, so there was a passage that Johnny read. I don't remember what exactly it was. I think it was Psalm 63, verse 1 to 6, I think. And that was, I'll just read the first verse. The first verse. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Oh, my goodness. Is that how you would describe your desire for God? I want my desire to be a bit more like that. May all our desires be more like a bit more like that. And I am reminded also as well of two parables. The parable of a chest buried in a field, and the parable of a pearl of great value. In these parables, someone put everything aside to go and get these treasures. And in saying these parables, Jesus was describing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like that. That's what he said. Go on, go say it again. And I'm also reminded of a verse in Matthew 22, verse 37. That's where he says, that's the greatest commandment. It's not merely to love God, but to love him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Heart, mind, and soul. All your heart, mind, and soul. That there, you know, speaks to me. And the other one was Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46, by the way. So I encourage you to consider these things. I've been thinking about them. And so I will make 2 points about Johnny's preach, and I'll make 2 points about the video. I don't want to take too long. So the first one from Johnny's preach is that about fasting. There's one that's fasting is going without something for a spiritual purpose. And the next point is we fast because we hunger for God, and we fast because we want to hunger for God more. So that sounds like a powerful tool to me. I want to try it. I will try it. Think about what you will set aside. I will do the same. And then the other one that's impacted me was the video I saw. This was now an interview of something called Facing the Canon on YouTube. Was an interview of an author called Pete Gregg. I don't know. You've probably heard of him. Well, probably not everyone, but never mind. And, okay. 2 points. Firstly, there's a lot in there, of course. You can rewatch it yourself. And the first point I will mention is he describes something like this. You can have an hour in the morning to pray, but an hour in the morning, that actually hour is actually to center yourself on God and to center yourself on Jesus and to get your perspective correct. And then the rest of the day can be about praying. So then you 1 hour to center on God, and the rest of the day you can be praying. Second point, which ties in nicely with the first point, is anything can be a source of prayer. You can find a scripture verse and then try and understand the scripture verse and pray about the scripture verse, or, I mean, you tree in the park. Oh, Lord, you made a nice tree. How wonderful. It's, for me, I've always been wanting to grow more spiritually the last few years. Last year, about August, in South Africa, and I was walking down some rural road, a dirt road, lovely dirt roads, never mind. And my heart cried out to God. And I had a vision of a field. And there were lots of sticks and stones and weeds and stuff in the field. And the things of God could not grow in the field. But I was shown that the Lord would take away all the sticks and the stones and the weeds, and so that the things of God could grow and that I would grow further. The sticks just need to take away. The stuff needs to go away. And that is my prayer and my hope. And I will pursue the right course. I trust him. It will work out. We will get there. I will apply it. And honestly, God bless you, Grace Church.
Well done. Well, future as a preacher there, I think, Martin. Well done. Excellent. Really encouraging. And loaded full of scripture as well. So I'm encouraged by that. Next up is Sean. Let's give Sean a hand.
So today I'm going to talk about something that I've struggled in the past to be open and honest about, and that's my mental health. So over the last few years, I've really been struggling with feelings of depression and exceptionally low moods, and sometimes feeling really lethargic and like I can't cope with life. So this all started just before the country went into lockdown for COVID. I was driving along and nearly hit by a car. And I was fine, didn't really think about it, and then a couple of miles later drove through the remnants of a really bad car crash, and I found out the following day that two people had been killed and that the car that nearly hit me was the car that caused that accident. So that led to a lot of problems with sleeping, which I still struggle with today. My friends can testify to how much we pray about that. So I don't sleep well. And then maybe a couple of weeks later, lockdown happened, and everyone else was taking a break or not being able to leave their homes, but I was still going to work every day. So myself and my colleagues were putting ourselves at risk to make sure that people could get the food they needed to survive, and it was a really exhausting time, but it was also a period where you just got on with it and did what needed to be done. So I just worked hard and kind of forgot about how it was hitting me mentally. It felt like while everyone else was enjoying a chance to rest and take a break, I was still having to work just as hard, if not harder, and I felt like I got no rest or peace. So on top of this, I developed plantar fasciitis, which is a problem with your feet, and it causes a lot of pain. And so as well as being mentally drained at work, I was also physically struggling. I wasn't able to exercise or move about as much. And so I was putting on weight, which made me feel really bad about myself. And I was feeling tired all the time to an extent that wasn't normal and suffering from like horrific headaches. And all of this sent me into a spiral which ended in a very depressive spell. And I spent a lot of time denying that there wasn't anything wrong with me, even though my friends and those around me could tell that I wasn't okay. But it all came to a head about 2 years ago when I was driving along and I thought, if I crash my car right now, that would be it. I wouldn't have to worry anymore. I could just take a break from everything. And I knew at that moment that I needed to get help. So I started telling my closest friends and family how I was feeling. Talking about emotions and feelings is something that I've always struggled with. And so to be vulnerable like that was really difficult. I also went to the doctors and was put on antidepressants. But that didn't really resolve like the deep issues that I was struggling with and feeling. So the biggest thing I did was that I chose to be honest with God about how I was feeling. And I was so scared that he'd be upset and disappointed in me because he gave everything for me and I didn't even want it. But what I found was that when I let Jesus into my darkness, he climbed down and joined me. And I found that the more I let Jesus into that dark place, the more he brought light to the situation. At my lowest, I knew that God's love and presence was with me, and I was able to cling to Jesus as my anchor, which helped to stop me from completely drowning. And I think there's two reasons why God wanted me to share this today. Firstly, God has been teaching me that it's okay to be vulnerable, and right now what he's calling me to do is be my most vulnerable. He's asking me to trust that when I'm vulnerable, it's for my own benefit, and that I shouldn't be afraid of my emotions and feelings. And I also want to model vulnerability to our youth. I want you guys to know that it's okay to struggle, but it's important to be honest about how you feel, especially with God. And secondly, I think he wanted to address the shame that I felt over my mental health and the shame I think many people feel over it. A lot of people think that when you're a Christian, that's it, you're sorted, you're happy, there's nothing that can go wrong or make you feel down. But actually, God never promised us an easy, perfect life. He just promised to be with us in it. And I've been so blessed and lucky to be surrounded by a wonderful, loving church family who've been so supportive in this journey for me. But there's still this fear to be honest about our mental health because we feel like we should have it all together and that God should be enough for us not to feel depressed. Ultimately, what I'm learning is that when we show Jesus our darkness and despair, he climbs down into it with us. As we open ourselves up to him, he brings the light to show us the way out.
Well done. Thank you, Sian. That's just so brave, isn't it? And really, Anna's going to uncuddle her, apparently, so that's good. So. Good, all right. Well, it's just great to hear church family as well, just supporting that. So well done, Sean. Really good. Next up is Catherine. Her hand.
Hello. So I'm sharing about my healing, basically. So just a bit of background. I did share a brief testimony a few weeks ago. So I've had a skin allergy, which was called heat urticaria for any medically minded people, since August 2001, so that's 22 and a half years. And basically meant that I would get intense itching from any kind of friction. So if I brushed my hair, my scalp would be on fire, or if I just scratched my leg, it would be intensely itchy. And particularly in the summer when it was hot, I'd get very itchy. And basically I was told that I'd grow out of it by the age of 25, but didn't. And so 15 years later, here I am. And it was on the 2nd of February this year, I was reading through Mark, and the Spirit just kept making verses pop out at me. I'm just going to read a few of them. So in Mark 9, it's the parable of the boy with an evil spirit that Jesus is healing. And he says, can you heal him? And Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And then in chapter 10, verse 27, there was another story. And Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible with God. And verse 52, Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And lastly, in chapter 11, verse 24, it's talking about the withered fig tree. And Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." And I just felt the Spirit was just stirring something in me to ask for God to heal me of my skin allergy, which I thought was ridiculous because I always imagined a sort of a dramatic healing, that someone would have a word of knowledge that someone had a skin allergy and that they would be healed instantly, which is what I'd expected to happen. But along that same kind of time, I'd read Molly Oldfield's book, some of you might know her, Into the Fast Lane, and she spoke of a testimony of a lady who had a very similar skin condition who did actually have a word of knowledge, and she was healed. And she brought the testimony a week later, but then she constantly, the symptoms kept coming back, and she couldn't really understand that God had healed her, and she'd been free of it for a week or two, but the symptoms kept coming back, and they very much felt that it was just a bit like with Job and Satan inflicting him with sores and things, that Satan was still at work. And so every time that happened, she would get people to pray for her, and the allergy would go again. And it took a number of weeks before she was completely healed. But I just felt really encouraged reading that testimony. And at the same time, so basically, I'd made the decision to ask God that he would heal me. And on that day, I stopped taking my antihistamines that I'd taken every day for 22 and a half years. So after I stopped taking the pills, it didn't all suddenly magically go away. There was a massive reduction initially in the itching. But over the following weeks, I would get waves of itching. So I remember every morning I'd wake up and my feet would be intensely itchy, and my hands, and then my orifices, and then the back of my head, and then my legs. But each time I'd speak truth over it, saying that, "No, you've healed me. Jesus' name is written over every cell of my body. And God does not lie." And I'd get people to pray for me. Some of you guys prayed for me during those first couple of weeks, that every time I'd feel the itching, and they'd ask for healing again. And it would quiet down. And then it would suddenly flare up again. But at the same time, Thomas was reading through a number of things on suffering, because he was going through some things as well. I'll just read a couple of the passages, verses, I mean. So in 1 Peter, he was reading in Corinthians, but there were other verses that kept coming up on sermons and other things I was hearing. It says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin." And then again in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." And lastly, in James 1, 2 to 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, so that you must be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And I just really felt God was speaking to me through this time of, although I knew he'd healed me, this period of suffering, of sort of flare-ups and going away for a time and then coming back, was a time just to press into him. And my faith just grew and grew during that time of just pressing into him, knowing that although I was suffering and I couldn't understand why, that God was still faithful through it and that he was healing me through the suffering. And so the itching, by the end of the month, the 25th of February, it was massively reduced. And I felt prompted on that Sunday to share my testimony with you here, even though I was doubting whether I should, because I knew I wasn't completely dealt with. So I took a step of faith and I shared it. And that day I did actually pray with someone. I perhaps won't mention them, but the next day they did say that they had been significantly improved in their pain. And during that whole day after I shared my testimony, my whole face felt like it was on fire, and it felt like all the symptoms had come back. And I really struggled, because I was thinking, well, I've been faithful and taken a step of faith in sharing testimony, and yet I feel like, you know, why am I still having these flare-ups? And I chatted it through with Thomas and others, and although I felt plagued with doubt, you know, what if God hasn't actually healed me? And, you know, I don't want him to make out that people should trust in this God that I believe in, and yet I'm not completely healed. I don't really understand, but Thomas and others just encouraged me that, you know, God is faithful. It doesn't matter what people think. I know in my heart what he has done. And just being taught that what God has taught me, we take a step of faith. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. And faith is always risky. It says that his way is better than my way, and that we walk and we persevere through the suffering that will probably come with it, and like Jesus did, and it develops our character and it gives us hope. And so I kept pressing in, and I have to say, since February, it's obviously now April, the symptoms have just reduced and reduced and reduced, and in this last week I've had absolutely nothing. And it's incredible, because even just brushing my hair would have triggered the whole histamine release and everything. And I can say that my whole body for this last week has been completely healed. And just praise God for his faithfulness.
Wonderful. And I asked for an antihistamine this morning for my hay fever, and they're apparently in the bin. So I've now got to start buying Puritan. Joel, why don't you come up next? Let's give Joel a hand.
Everyone's got notes, and I haven't got notes, but I'm going to pretend I've got notes. I just want to read the beginning of Psalm 23, which if you're in a, what are they called? Grace group. If you're in a grace group, that's what we've been going through. And it's one of those psalms that you think you know really well until you spend weeks going through it, and then it speaks to you, doesn't it? So verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." And other versions say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack no good thing, I shall not be in want for anything." And you read that and you go, what does it mean? Is it true? Do I have everything I need? And am I lacking good things? And then you kind of think, well, what is a good thing? And what do I think is a good thing? And as I was thinking about kind of what to share this morning, as I was thinking about that this morning, because that's how late I left it, I was just thinking about how God has provided a few kind of good things and things that I need over the past few years. And so I just thought I'd share a few of those. I'll try and keep it short. The first one is, Faith and I have almost been married 3 years now, and we got engaged back in lockdown. All that time ago, so what's that, almost 4 years ago. And when we got engaged, I still work at a place called CYE, and I didn't have like a salary. Faith had a few months left of uni, and so didn't have a job, and we got engaged, and then we just set a date for the wedding. Not with like some big kind of move, we just wanted to get married. But with that date, there was no guarantee of a house or job or income. But we just knew we wanted to be married, and we just trust God with it. And kind of got closer and closer, and there's no salaried position, and there's no house, and you're like making plans, and you're looking on Rightmove, and everything's so expensive. And then someone came down to CYE. She used to work there, and she was just sitting on the bench having a lunch, and I just thought, oh, good. Sit there and have a chat. Got chatting, mentioned that we're getting married, and she was like, oh, do you need somewhere to live? I've got this annex that my mum used to live in. Just come and live in it. I want to support a young couple. And you're like, hang on, this is too easy. Like, where's the catch? And I think like that's kind of been the theme of God's provision, is you're like, where's the catch? It's almost too easy. But we're there, we're still there. And it's been amazing. And so that's kind of the first way. But I think a big part of, there's a provision of a house, but a big part of it feeling like home is having a community as well. And I wanted to encourage you guys that you are God's provision of community, to the point now that when people ask us, like, where do you want to settle or whatever, we're like, well, here, because we really love our church family. And I just think like it's such a privilege, and we talk about it often, Faith and I, of like the privilege of really good and supportive community. Like it's not something that everyone has, and so often we talk to our friends, you know, who may be at uni or have kind of moved away, and they feel really lonely, or they don't have that support base, and God's provided it for us. And again, in a way where you're like, we'd kind of been searching for churches, and then we turned up here, and you're like, oh, this feels really easy. Like this feels really, really welcoming and homely. And I really think it's good to encourage individuals as well. And so just wanted to kind of publicly thank Dave and Sarah Love for the part they've played in making that home, and the rest of their family. And yeah, God's just used you guys as provision. Then going kind of onwards to like now, I'm in the middle of changing jobs. So I've been at CYE for 7 years, and it kind of feels like the right time to move on, and going to go into running my own carpentry business. The plan was to be doing an apprenticeship at this point, and for a few reasons that kind of had to stop. And so a few months ago, in October, I was in this place, I was like, am I just going to do this by myself? And it kind of felt like the right thing to do, but there's not a really clear way forward. And my tendency is to put a lot of my own kind of value and worth in really working out myself and showing that, like, as a man, I've got the plan. And, like, here's the way forward. Here's my 5-year business plan. And, like, this is what I'm going to do on social media to really push it and market myself. Like, all this kind of stuff. And the result was I just got really stressed about it and just felt like this is, like, am I doing the right thing? Maybe I should have just stayed at CYE. Got to a place I was like, well, I just don't have anything else to give. And I remember that kind of specific day of that happening, like 3 different people messaged me about asking for work. Almost to the point where I was like, I remember we were sitting on the sofa, I was just like showing Faith the messages, like almost laughing, like what is happening here? And from that point to now, that continues to happen. Like I haven't had to go looking for work. And I'm not saying that will never happen, but again, there's this like ease of where's the catch? Of God just providing the work, and I'm just kind of sitting back and watching and then going and doing the jobs, and you kind of look ahead at the next few months, you're like, I might need work there, and then someone messages and it's like, oh, can you come and do work here? It's just, yeah, it's amazing how he provides those things. Because I really believe, as Johnny shared, that like work is something that's really good. And it's one of those things that we need, and community is one of those things that we need, and home is one of those things that we need. And the final one, which we're really in the middle of, is at CYE, we got pretty badly affected by the flooding that just happened. We just finished a project doing a new building, which was kind of like 5 years in the making. Last year we did it, and it was good, but it was a slog. We've got a team of kind of teenagers who live on site, and so we had to rehouse them. And anyway, it was finished, and it was like, yes, amazing, going to have a good season, finished strong in my time there. And then this flood happened 2 weeks ago, and it's like, of course, for £1 million of damage, new building, it's like, the downstairs just ruined. The insurance guys come down, they're like, oh yeah, probably like 6 months to fix it. And then, you know, they start saying things like temporary changing rooms and all that kind of thing again. And you're like, oh, why? But what's been really amazing in all of it is how God has been growing within the team of CYE. And especially within the younger guys, like age kind of 18 to 21, this like culture of worship as a response to everything. And myself and a friend about 4 years ago who worked there together, we just started on a Monday morning just worshiping together before work in kind of our meeting space for the staff with the hope that people would kind of come and join. And we just did it probably a year, just the two of us, once, maybe twice a week. And then like slowly people have joined. You just kind of stick at it because, again, I believe like worship is one of those things that we need and is really good. And over the last year, the Lord's just taken it. And in moments of like crisis or stress, someone in the team will just go, they'll put a message out on the team WhatsApp and they go, guys, we're going to meet in 5 minutes and we're just going to worship for half an hour. And I think, you know, if you say that to anyone, you're like, Or if I'd said that to myself a few years ago, I probably wouldn't have been saying, I'll just be real, like, let's be realistic about a workplace culture. Like, that's not going to happen. You're being a bit idealistic. But God takes it, and he takes faithfulness in worshipping, and he's grown that into a team who will now, you know, come September, go into their separate universities or jobs and take that culture elsewhere. And so, yeah, I just wanted to give testimony to how God provides, and I guess to encourage you that there is, like, a good amount of effort, I think, that we can put into stuff, but there is a point where you have to go, I just can't. And there's also a point where, if God's providing and it feels easy, don't look for the catch. Just trust him with it, and enjoy his provision.
We've got one left. We're going to go for it. Dave, are you up for it? Let's give Dave a hand, and then we'll have some tea and coffee and go and release the kids' workers who are probably climbing the walls by now. But if you're all right to carry on, let's go for it in faith. Well done, Dave.
Sorry, I was a late addition as well, so no notes, but I'll try and keep it quick. So just over a year ago at work, we were told that redundancies were going to take place. There was a kind of a merger takeover kind of thing taking place at work that I should have seen coming, but I didn't because I'd been there for 7 or 8 years, so it was kind of my comfortable place to work. I wasn't that confident in my abilities. I work in finance, and I've never been that comfortable. I've just kind of gone with the flow. I've always just sort of moved as I've been made redundant and found another job straight away sort of thing. So I've never sort of thought I've been that good at my job. We were told that we had until the end of September, so it was like a 6 months that we had to work to get a bit of a redundancy package. My first reaction was to go into panic instead of trusting in God that he would provide for me. I just sort of thought, what's going to happen? Basically, I think I didn't trust in God. I just thought I had to sort of do all of the work. So I immediately started trying to look for a new job or trying to think what I could do. There was loads of different options. I didn't really feel suited for anything, but I was just looking on different job websites. Just went into a bit of a panic. We had loads of work to do as well for the stuff going on at work as well. So I was like super busy over those 6 months. Basically, as we got closer to the deadline, other people started getting jobs, but I didn't. And I applied for several things, went for several interviews, nothing came up. We got into the summer, into August. There's a job that I applied for. The deadline was like just before we went away on holiday. We went to Croatia in the summer, and we had to leave at 2:30 in the morning, and I basically put in a job application at 11 o'clock at night because there was a problem on the website that I couldn't submit it. But I got the application in on time, and I just kind of completely forgot about it. When we got back from holiday, when we got into September, after the initial panic that I'd been going through, I just decided to stop panicking. Something just changed in my mindset. I just thought I need to start trusting God. And I did. I just thought I knew I'd had people praying for me lots. And I'd been praying myself, but I knew that I wasn't really trusting. But something changed in my mindset, and I thought I need to start trusting God for this, and I did. I just completely felt at peace throughout the first 2 weeks of September, and then I got called for an interview. And I couldn't even remember applying for the job when I got the email through. And I had a job interview, and then I had a second interview. And it wasn't until the middle of October that I found out that I had basically got the job. And it wasn't just any job. It was like the best job for me. The place I'm working now, I've been there nearly 6 months. It's such a good place for me. It's really suited to my skills. I've got an amazing boss. He's just the kindest boss that I could imagine to have. I've got a guy there who's a friend who's a Christian as well that I got to know. it's someone I actually reached out to share my testimony with. I sort of wanted to share with him that I was a Christian, and he said that he's a Christian as well. So it's just amazing. And it's just, I just wanted to share really that God's really blessed me through this. He's moved me along, and he's not just, I'm not really very well prepared this morning, but I just wanted to say that God is good, and he's really provided for me. Thank you.
Wonderful. That's so good. Thank you, everyone, who has shared. I mean, I just hope you're encouraged by that. I know it's gone on a little bit longer, but it's good to hear these things of God's faithfulness. And I think there was one verse left. I don't know if you've got it on the slide there, Guy, if you can click on. Just out of James. I won't read the whole thing, but look at verse 17. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years, 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And so he's just saying, all these people, they're just like us. Everyone you've heard this morning, they're just like you. And I just want you to be encouraged in your faith. It's the person that our faith is focused on that's important. So you can have faith the size of a mustard seed. And there's been lots of doubt you've heard in what people have said, but and yet people have still taken steps of faith and prayed. And so even to desire faith is an act of faith. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. I'm going to finish by praying. And I mean, if anyone wants prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with people. I know there'll be others here that would pray as well. So if you just feel actually one of these stories has really resonated, and I'd love that person to pray. I'm sure most of the people that have shared wouldn't mind praying with someone. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for these stories. Thank you that you are so faithful. God, thank you that this life is not it, that there is an eternal heavenly dwelling that you have prepared for us, Lord, with all these people that have gone before us, Lord. Lord, to bring the gospel to 2024. Lord, so many people have given their lives for it. Lord, help us give our lives to share our faith. Lord, help us to give up our reputations. Help us to give up our money or our wants and desires, Lord, in order to gain something better, which is an eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you're at work. I pray, will you open our eyes and our ears to the truth this morning, that you are faithful, Lord, even when we're not. And that, Lord, you forgive us, you save us, you call every single one of us into your kingdom, Lord, to come and know Jesus. Help us to know you more intimately. Holy Spirit, will you bring life in this room this morning, I pray. If people don't believe, I pray, will you bring faith right now. And for those of us that are suffering and struggling, I pray we'll be encouraged that you're still in control, that you've not let us go, that you do not leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, I thank you for your church. I thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us and hold us up when we're too weak to stand on our own feet. Thank you for your word, Lord, the truth in Scripture, Lord, the power that it holds. Help us to be readers of it. And Lord, thank you for worship. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for all these gifts you've given us, Lord. Will we flourish, Lord, by embracing them and giving ourselves to them and giving ourselves to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.